For Sunday, February 3rd, 2019, welcome to Our Redeemer's Lutheran Church in Helena, Montana. We are a member church of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America. Our weekly podcasts feature the gospel reading and the sermon along with a few prayers, so please join with me. We're going to hear Pastor Arne Berglund preach on Luke chapter 4, 21 through 30, but first, let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Then Jesus began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself,' and you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things that you have heard you did, we have heard that you did at Capernaum.'" And he said, "Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. This is the gospel of the Lord. Friends in Christ, abundant grace, mercy, and peace is yours in Christ Jesus our Lord. Have you ever been really mad at God? Our lessons today ask us to consider that. It's actually the second part of a gospel lesson that we began reading last Sunday here in worship, a lesson where Jesus goes to his hometown, the small, tiny village of Nazareth. And in the synagogue, he's asked to read from Scripture before mostly family and certainly all friends who had known him from the time that he was a little boy. Jesus that day quoted from the book of Isaiah that spoke of the promised one of God. Today our lesson continues where we read last week. Jesus says, "This scripture, this word of God, has been fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus is the fulfillment of what God has promised. We heard that message last week. We hear it again today. Jesus' announcement to his hometown church, his announcement is to you this morning as well, as we connect these passages from the Gospel of Luke. What does Scripture mean when it speaks of a prophet? There's a little football game this afternoon, for those of you who care. Who's going to win? The Rams? Oh, how about the Patriots? Yeah. You can leave now. Is that what we mean by prophecy? That we predict the future? That prophets make a claim on what will happen? Is the prophet one who has visions for the future? Well, perhaps, but I think more accurately, a prophet is one who speaks the truth as God calls him or her to do. Scripture says, today in your hearing, it is fulfilled. Jesus is the promised one of God. Upon hearing that news, upon hearing the boldness of what Jesus had to say, well, at first, his friends and family in the town of Nazareth coddle him. I mean, isn't he cute? Jesus, Joseph's son, he's grown up, he's done so well. They patronize him. But then his words sink in and another mood takes over the congregation. Because you see, Jesus is claiming to have the authority of God, and that really makes them angry. It's a shocking revelation that moves the people of Nazareth to toss Jesus over the cliff because what he had to say was just too much of a challenge for him. But Jesus was called by God, and Jesus is the fulfillment of God's promise. What do we do when we're angry at God? Well, we heard from Jeremiah this morning in our first lesson, another one of the prophets that we find in the Old Testament. Jeremiah wasn't really all that happy about God wanting him to be a prophet. In fact, he told God that he was unprepared. He was too young. He was unable to be what God wanted to be, and he wiggled and squirmed at what God was trying, what God was asking him to do. God's word terrified Jeremiah. We also heard from the Apostle Paul this morning in the letter to the Corinthians. Paul was writing to a dysfunctional family that was the church at Corinth, a people that were arguing and fighting with one another. Paul reminded them of the ultimate will of God, the will to be made whole, to make one, the will of God's love over all things. Well, God's word is a promise fulfilled. It is, sometimes that word is a challenge and scary. Sometimes it is comfort and speaks with confident hope. But when God says what we don't want to hear, or when God asks us to look beyond ourselves, beyond our own needs, sometimes we have trouble with that. Jeremiah certainly did. The people in Nazareth certainly did. Actually, it knocked the Apostle Paul to the ground before he got it. Jesus' family and friends had trouble with it as well. So I wonder, why should we be any different? The prophet Jeremiah had trouble seeing gifts in himself that God knew he had. God asked him to use those gifts to move beyond his comfort zone. God confronted him with that, and he was troubled by it. Those people in Corinth, they liked to think of themselves as better than others, that they were more superior. They thought higher of themselves than perhaps they should have, and they fought with one another. God called them to set that aside, to look to a higher calling, the calling of God's love that brings together and makes whole. Jesus' hometown church thought that they had it kind of all figured out. They knew Jesus, after all, since he was a baby. Jesus' words that day, however, were unsettling, calling them to think in new ways about the promise of God. And so when God's word came to each of these, it moved them out of their comfort zone. Each of these speaks of a crisis of faith that happens, I think, when God does not behave as we might expect God to behave, or when God asks us to see beyond ourselves to a larger truth and a broader reality. A number of years ago, I baptized a beautiful baby girl. Her baptism took place in the warm glow of Christmas Eve. The family was there. The congregation was there. We all celebrated the gift of new life that night, in spite of the fact that 2 weeks later, Carly was to have heart surgery to correct a defect in her heart. Less than a month after that, that beautiful baptism, I performed Carly's funeral. She didn't make it. It was not the way things were supposed to be. And it shook my faith. Where was God in this? What about this promise that God has? Another time, years ago, in the city of Tacoma, the town was left reeling as one young man took the life of another young man in the hallway of his school. Christmas vacation was over. School was starting up. The excitement of a new year was in the air. And then, during the first period, shots rang out. It changed everything. The principal of the school asked me to be with him to attend a moment of blessing for that young man. In Tacoma, the local churches respond to acts of violence such as this by coming to the place where the violence occurred and blessing the ground, reclaiming the ground for good. The day of that blessing, I stood on the parking lot with the principal. The family was there, students were there, faculty were there. This was not the way it was supposed to be. Where was God in this? It shook my faith. And during that ceremony, my cell phone buzzed in my pocket, and I, you know, as you do when you're not supposed to have your cell phone turned on, I quickly turned it off, only to find out later when I opened it up that it was a text message from my daughter three states away, and I was reminded that my child was alive while another is not. Where's the justice? Where is God in that? Where is the promise fulfilled? I was mad at God. I think we all have encounter moments of struggling like that. The people of Nazareth did, Jeremiah did, Apostle Paul did, so do you, so do I. What happens when we're faced with the brokenness of this world? What happens when our lives run into the Word of God and it's not what we expect? Jesus has two stories to tell his friends in Nazareth. That day he spoke of two stories that spoke of how God's mercy was given to outsiders, to people who didn't belong. Jesus tells them that God sent Elijah to a town, the town of Sidon, a town that housed the great glassworks of the Phoenicians, but not a town of insiders. They were all outsiders. Elijah went to live with a widow and her son who were on the very brink of salvation. And as he arrived to her house, that woman was taking the very last bit of flour that she had, the very last bit of oil that she had, to make a small cake for her son and her to eat so that they might eat it and die. But that's not what happened. You see, the flour and the oil, they never ran out. By God's grace, they survived. Not sure the widow got it at that point. She did later, however, because that young boy died, and the woman cursed Elijah. He cursed God that it would happen. The story tells us that Elijah brought that boy back to life, and then the widow, who could not see the love of God in that first miracle that had happened to her, was able to see it in the second, and she said this, "Now I see that the word of God is in your mouth. Now I see that the word of God, the promise of God, is fulfilled." The second story, Jesus speaks of Naaman the leper. He also was very much of an outsider. He was the captain of the armies of Syria, an enemy of Israel, and he was inflicted with leprosy. Elisha the prophet told him that if he took a bath in the River Jordan, he would be made whole. Well, Naaman laughed at the suggestion. Leprosy could not be cured, and he was angry with the prophet. But in time, he decided to try it out, and it worked. And when it did, he came back to Elisha, and this is what he said, "Now I know there's no other God but yours. They doubted, they scoffed, they were angry, they were in a crisis of faith. But God's broader vision allowed them to see God's love, God's mercy and grace at work in their lives. Last week in worship, we heard how in Jesus there is good news for the poor, release for the captives, sight for the blind. This week, we've heard how God's love, mercy, and peace is at work in our lives, even when we're unaware of it, even when we doubt it, even perhaps when we're angry at God. God is faithful. We cling to that hope, cling to that promise that we find certain in Jesus Christ. So for 2 weeks, we've been reminded of God's promises found in the words of the prophet Isaiah, as God moved Jeremiah and Paul, as God changed the heart of the widow and Naaman the leper. So may God's word move among you and I as well, guiding us, comforting us, challenging us to live in that grace, to share that grace in all that we do, to be that people where indeed there is good news for the poor, release for the captives, sight for the blind. The people of Nazareth were upset that their hometown boy would suggest to them that God's will was for all people, not just them. God's will is for outsiders as well as insiders. It's a broad declaration. All are included. For me, it causes me to think, is this church, is this family for those outside or inside the church? I suggested last week that the power of faith is not in what we receive, but it is in giving it away to others. As we work to comfort the grieving, to pray with the sick, to bring good news to the poor, feed the hungry, give shelter to the homeless, there the promise of God is made real. There the promise of God is found to be certain and true. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the weekly Our Redeemer's Lutheran podcast. We publish weekly Wednesday mornings, and it contains the previous Sunday's gospel reading and pastor's sermon. For more information about our church, please visit www.ourredeemerlives.org. Weekly services are 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Sunday mornings. Thank you for listening, and have a Christ-filled day.